Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello there, and welcome to So I Got to Thinking, the weekly podcast where we take the iconic questions of Sex and the Cities, Carrie Bradshaw, and apply them to modern life and love. You are joined by Princess Dandyridge Brandywine, Juno Dawson, and Elizabeth Taylor, Dylan B. Jones. Hi, Dylan.
Hi, Juno.
How's it going?
Yeah, good. This episode is iconic. There's so much memorable stuff.
I know. I convinced Max to watch this one, and it held his attention as well. So,
do you know what? It's a good one for like a newbie to watch, because it's like, it's actually good. Like some episodes of Sex and the City, you're like, oh, that was kind of a bit
filler.
Like, yeah, like I'd be embarrassed for Chris to see some of them. But this is a really strong, like, interesting, dramatic, funny episode, isn't it?
Pretty much every scene in this one is memorable in some way. Written by Michael Patrick King. Yeah. I think at the top of his powers. I think we've criticised him, but he really, really understands the characters by this point. And as well, you can sense that particularly Sarah Jessica Parker was really here for this one.
Yeah.
If she had any qualms about Carrie having an affair with a married man, then this episode kind of vindicates her. So Dylan, do you want to give us your potted synopsis?
Carrie and Mr. Big's affair reaches its crescendo, I guess. Miranda and the sandwich.
She is sexually intrigued by a sandwich.
By a sandwich. Samantha finally has an HIV test.
Thank God, yeah.
And Charlotte is annoying.
So let's start from the beginning. So this is kind of the third part of a trilogy, I guess, which we could call The Affair. In that the last 3 weeks have seen Carrie and Big have an extramarital / extra Aiden affair. And this kind of dominates. And I think actually every scene plays out really believably. That first montage where they go from having their affair in beautiful 5-star hotels with strawberries and champagne to ending up in some god-awful Fleabag.
I loved that. Like, all of it was kind of really, I mean, this, I'm sure this was the desired effect, but all of it was kind of really sort of sleazy but also quite sexy. And it was interesting how they had like Carrie in the coat and the sunglasses. And it's like a thing, like she likes sort of dressing up for him, doesn't she? Because there's the other thing in a couple of seasons time where she's the candy striper and she like turns up. And then the other one with the BDSM episode where she's got like the top hat and then she's like the French girl. Like she likes putting on little outfits for him.
I mean, she is insane, let's not forget. Although that said, it's so alien to me that you would go to those lengths.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I mean, is that a thing? Again, we need listeners. Because, I mean, Dylan and I guess we could have found a guest who was willing to come on our podcast and talk about their extramarital affair, but I think the odds of doing that were fairly slim to none. I've never had that kind of crazy thing where, I mean, God, hotels are expensive.
Yeah, and we touched on this in the last episode, didn't we?
Mm.
It's just weird. And I had it again in this one when Carrie was like, how did we get here? What are we doing? And then Big just sort of like starts kissing her and they don't talk about it. And it's like, how are you just doing this without discussing, like, why aren't you saying to each other, like, why aren't you having a conversation about what you're doing? Like, it's just bizarre. Like, I don't understand it at all.
No. I mean, they try to. There is this ongoing thread of, will you leave? Will you leave Natasha? Will you leave Aiden? That kind of runs. And I guess, I wonder if, and it's never said because it's quite a subtly written script, which is that neither of them want to leave their partners, actually. And what's exciting about this is that it's illicit.
Yeah. I love it when Big is like talking about Aiden and it's so like, it's such a put down. He's like, oh, this is about that man, isn't it? Mm. Like, he doesn't even say his name. He's like, oh, that man that you're seeing. Like, making it sound silly.
I like the scene quite early on where Carrie, and it's interesting, like we praised the scene last week where Carrie tells Samantha, but we can kind of see her working her way through her friends.
Yeah.
Anticipating the level of judgment she'll get from each friend. Yeah. With Samantha is your entry level, no judgment. Miranda, tough love. And then later in the episode, Charlotte is just hysteria. But so let's take those in turn. So first of all, Miranda, and she confesses to Miranda over cocktails. I love Miranda with the cigarette because that's what that is what I look like when I try to smirk. Like, like, just, you can't see what I'm doing, but I look like a mannequin smoking a cigarette. Like Sophie Ellis Bextor video. I loved that. And Carrie's like, do you think he only wants me because he can't have me? And Miranda's like, yes.
Yeah.
Just, like, it needs no more psychoanalysis. The reason this is working is because it's sexy and taboo and illicit.
And Miranda, 10 friend points to Miranda for all of this, but particularly for when she says to Carrie, when Carrie's like sort of pontificating like and fussing like, oh, what does he want? Miranda just says very firmly, forget about him. What do you want?
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. That is the best thing to possibly say in that situation. Carrie, like, started to annoy me quite a lot in this episode because I was thinking, like, how would I react if I were Carrie's friend? And she keeps, one of the most infuriating things, it's fair enough if someone has a problem, but one of the most infuriating things is for someone to keep complaining about this problem to you and then do nothing about it. Like, but then by the end of the episode, she has resolved it.
Well, it's proper junkie behaviour. And I think that there is an alternative plot line where they could have talked about addiction and compared Carrie and Big to addiction because Carrie's continual, I'm stopping. She tells Miranda she's stopping and then she doesn't stop. And then I love the scene where Charlotte walks into Carrie on the street outside their dirty hotel.
Oh, it's so good.
Poor Charlotte, who is, you know, she's high on bridal life, and then she sees her best friend having an affair with a married man. That's got to shit on your wedding bonfire, hasn't it?
I love Carrie's look in that scene. I love when they put her in aviator shades.
Mm-hmm.
She always looks great in aviators. And and oh my god, like, that was so good. And when Natasha comes back.
Ooh. Well, I mean, let's talk about that scene because, I mean, that's really the ultimate, which is, they have, and I love that scene with Charlotte and Carrie, where Charlotte really doesn't let Carrie off the hook. Yeah. She's like, you need to think about this woman. You've not thought, what, you don't care about Natasha. You only care about getting caught. And it's true, you know, since season two, Carrie has been very down on Natasha throughout. She's an idiot stick figure with no soul. She can't spell. She's simple. And Charlotte is right. You know, Carrie hasn't once thought about Natasha in all this. And I love that she really crucifies Carrie because she kind of deserves it. And then immediately after that scene, we see Carrie in Big and Natasha's bed.
Yeah.
So it's just, and it keeps getting worse, you know, and even Carrie says, you know, I reached a new low kind of and,
but I also love it. Like, it's like we've been saying throughout this, like, the main character acting not only questionably, but actually being despicable.
Yeah.
It's like pretty amazing. I actually can't remember if Aidan finds out.
Spoiler alert, that's next week's episode, Dylan.
Yeah, he does find out. Because I was thinking, because I knew that obviously they broke up and she said that he was, but I couldn't remember whether she actually found out about the affair. I was thinking a way that it might have been more impressive and perhaps more realistic would be if he just never found out.
Probably.
Yeah.
And I mean, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it next week, because that is the whole question of next week's question. So let's not get ahead of ourselves. But the scene with Natasha is awful. And again, she fully deserves it. Poor Natasha. She's there on the jitney. So she's been on a couch for several hours, but then quite dark as well. And unfortunately, this line never will be explored, but when Natasha says, I knew you were having an affair, but I didn't realize you were doing it in my apartment, that's quite dark, because for a 25 year old woman to turn a blind eye to her husband's infidelity suggests a level of cognizance that we maybe haven't gifted Natasha with, which is that she knows what's going on. You know, was she making plans of her own? Was she seeing other people? Had she been quite calculating in deciding, I'm a young woman married to a very wealthy man. If I get divorced, I'm going to make an absolute bomb on this divorce. But, you know, do I have to be married to him for a year before, you know? So maybe she was very scheming in it. And I think that line is never explored because it's not Natasha's show, and Natasha will only appear once more now. But I thought that was a really interesting line that she has already figured out, because I do think maybe it's because on some level women have been slightly trained to be wary of men. That, you know, we know from pop culture that, you know, the adulterous man is rife. I think so. According to a 2017 American study, this was in Time magazine, they found that in general men are more likely than women to cheat. 20% of men and 13% of women reported that had sex with someone other than their spouse while married, and the biggest gap there, you're more likely to cheat actually in your 40s upward. Actually, younger people are less likely to cheat.
That makes sense.
I guess so, if you've been together a long time, but certainly as well, younger. So here's an interesting statistic. Younger women are more likely to cheat. So women in their early 20s are more likely to cheat than men, but in the mid-20s, it massively diverges. And then from about mid-20s onwards, men are always more likely to cheat than women, according to that study. So, and I think maybe women know this, and I think women are very smart, and I think women, we are, I think, quite good at keeping tabs on our partners, not necessarily in a coercive or controlling way, which I don't think is anything that should be encouraged. But I certainly think, you know, we know, and I've always known, one of my boyfriends going back pre-transition was definitely cheating on me. And I knew, because he vanished for hours on end that he could not explain. And I would say, like, so where were you today? Like, periods where he wouldn't answer his phone or respond to text messages. And he'd be like, oh, I went on a walk. No, you fucking didn't. And as it turns out, later on, a sort of a half friend, sort of like one of those kind of friends I knew from nights out, like a scene friend, was like, oh, yeah, I once saw him coming out of a sauna. And I was like, did you not think to tell me then? Like, we're 3.5 years on and I haven't been with him for 3 years. You know, kind of, why would you tell me now? Kind of, and so, but I knew it wasn't news. You know, my surprise was like zero surprise.
Yeah.
So I'm not surprised that Natasha is aware of big I mean, maybe she is going through his Palm Pilot. I love that. Carrie references Miranda's Palm Pilot.
I don't even really know what a Palm Pilot is.
It was like an early BlackBerry.
Okay. Basically. Like, did it have like a little stick with it that you like put, like...
Totally, yeah.
Right, one of those.
Mm. Although Samantha does say she's going to fax Charlotte a list of wedding stylists. Max was like, a fax? I was like, yeah. It was before email, if you can believe it.
Oh, we've got Carrie's email to look, Carrie's yes. instruction to email to look forward to.
Yeah, I think that to me, the scene in the apartment with Natasha and Carrie is the scene for me of this so season, good. Maybe.
When she's like, I see you. Oh. And she's like, Carrie's like fiddling. Oh my God, it's so good.
In
and
her then, bra.
And then I think like, I've seen this device used in movies quite a lot and in TV shows before as well, where they kind of express the extremeness of emotions through one of the characters like experiencing sudden physical pain. So I think her breaking her because breaking your tooth is just so like it makes you just cringe, and I think like that was put in there like consciously to make you go fuck, like she's really been hurt here.
And it proves Charlotte's point as well, which is, you know, and Carrie even says in her voiceover, I always assumed I would be the one to get hurt. Well, of course you did, Carrie, because you're fucking self-obsessed. You are a nightmare narcissist.
Oh my God, as well, when Aiden's kissing her and she's like, stop making that kissing sound, it's annoying. Like, oh.
I have done that.
Oh, have you?
I've done it with Max. He was making a noise that I can only describe as being a bit like Pharamon from RuPaul's Drag. It's like, and so I was like, you need to stop with that noise.
Do you know what SJP does really well in this episode with both Big and Aiden? I don't know if all of us do, but I know that you and I do, and a couple of my friends have said this before in the past, where you sometimes get a bit claustrophobic, even if you really love your partner, you mm-hmm. get a bit claustrophobic and you just have these moments where you're just like, get off, get out, just get off. I can't get off. And she does that twice and she does it really well.
Mm. Do you know what she needs? She needs a fan by her bed. I am also prone to overheating during the throes of passion, which is why I just reach over and bob the fan on, and yeah. then it's like a wind machine, so you just immediately look more beautiful as well. I think that's a good place to take a little break.
Yeah.
And while you're listening to the commercials, you can think of me getting it on with wind blowing through my hair.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Welcome back to So I Got to Thinking. This week, we have been watching the season three episode Running with Scissors. Yes. I mean, in the words of Carrie, we're Sir Irva. We need a new word for Irva.
Yeah, that shot of her in front of the sliding door as well.
Iconic. Sliding doors, it's back again. But the whole thing has been about her finding a way out and the door opening and closing for her. I mean, the symbolism couldn't be more in your face, could it? But the line is one of those lines that has been burned in my memory now for 20 years, which is, it's such an amazing put down. You know, it's not particularly big or clever, but just like... we're so over. And that is it now for a good long time. And this time she means it. And I thought, you know, I felt she meant it when she threw a fillet of fish at him. But no.
It is always just that they always bring the drama, don't they? Carrie and Big. A weird like aside from that scene, when Carrie's like, when Big's like, oh, is Natasha okay? And Carrie's like, yeah, her parents are on their way. It's like, that's a bit over the top. Like, I don't know. Is it?
I don't know, because
need to come.
Presumably Natasha is furious,
yeah,
and potentially doesn't want to see Big.
I guess.
Perhaps he's the last person she wants to see, and obviously, unfortunately, we will never see the beautiful horror of Natasha confronting Big. And again, all that stuff, she knew. How long has she known for? How does she know? You know, we miss out. And obviously, I think it's in a couple of weeks we find out that Natasha and Big are done, that they've obviously decided. And again, the humiliation, you know, kind of... Natasha is... I would love to have known that. You know, we do see her one other time and she's very cross about her tooth being a different colour to this tooth, which is the line that sticks with me. But again, there's something quite body horror about that Natasha will forever have mismatched teeth.
Yeah.
Because Carrie, because her husband fucked Carrie.
Yeah. Yeah. And she turns up at that restaurant with her like surly friends, doesn't she?
Mm.
Miranda.
Oh, Miranda and the sandwich. I mean,
Eat me.
With the teeth, eat me. But what I love, and I don't know if you noticed in this episode, is Miranda's styling throughout this episode is amazing.
Isn't that interesting? I wrote that down. That bit, particularly when she's in like the navy blue with the red scarf.
Mm, I pointed that out to Max. I said, that's an amazing outfit. But throughout, she's kind of wearing a lot of sort of vintage 70s looks. And it's interesting, I think... like I read the excerpt from the book last week, which is, I think as they all recognise the style impact the show was having, the days of Miranda wearing three hats, you know, a gong.
A bucket hat.
A hood, yeah. it's done. So it's really interesting to see her style evolve and every outfit she wears in that episode. The first time she meets the sandwich, she's in the most amazing high-waisted pencil skirt as well. The idea that Miranda would have been wearing that in season one when her clothes were so masculine.
Yeah.
Very, very unlikely, but she looks fierce. I love that she's brave enough to ring Carrie and tell her that she's been fantasizing about a man inside a sandwich.
And I love it when she marches into the shop as well.
I was just going to say, it's so good.
The guy's like, it's a sandwich.
Lady, it's a sandwich. I mean, if somebody spoke to me like that in a sandwich shop, I would be fuming. But I would do a cease and desist. She's a liar. She can do a cease and desist, but she doesn't.
I would have been here for like a whole storyline of like of it like progressing to like ridiculous heights, like Miranda that like then gets in like sues the sandwich shop. Like, it would have been ridiculous.
Oh.
Almost a sort of Samantha storyline for Miranda. It's just a light relief storyline, isn't it?
It is, because we need... I mean, this one, the Big and Carrie storyline is so big that the other three don't have a lot to do.
Yeah, although they're kind of circling around it.
Yeah, although I will say the Samantha stuff, I think, is really good. I mean... Yeah.
It was clumsily executed.
Yeah. I mean, the scene, the conversation where the woman of colour, the black woman, amazing, yes, a speaking black woman in a position of authority, runs Samantha through her sexual health check, and it is played for laughs. Yes. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
But it's good. It's good because, I mean, obviously we've sat and had that conversation before, but for a lot of viewers, it might have been the first time they heard. And I suppose it was demystifying, wasn't it? It was like, this is what happens when you go for an HIV test.
Really important. And I think as important as seeing Samantha's test is Carrie and Miranda being so nonchalant about the fact they had had tests. Yeah. I think it blows my fucking mind that straight cisgender people are not being tested unless they have symptoms. I would say to the straight cisgender women who are listening to this, which is, you know, chlamydia, gonorrhea, you know, can be symptomless. So it's really, really important to, if you are sexually active, to get checked out maybe once every 6 months. I will say this. I've been lax. I think my last one was about a year ago, but we've been in a fucking pandemic, and also Max and I are not open or polyamorous, so we're not sleeping with other people. So it just slightly feels like I'm wasting NHS resources.
Yeah.
But when I was single, and I said this a gazillion times, if I was single, A, I would be on PrEP now, and B, you know, it became to me like a very personal, I don't want to say battle, sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? But it became like, I took it quite personally, which is, you know, I had made it, you know, I started to calm down when I started my transition when I was 31. But, you know, so I had gone 31 years of being HIV negative, and I wanted to stay that way. Like, I knew, and I had seen HIV evolve, you know, from being a kid in the 80s. So I remember that apocalyptic commercial they put on television. You know, it was voiced, you can still see it on YouTube. You know, it was voiced by John Hurt. And there was this big gravestone that said AIDS on it, and the gravestone toppled forward and squashed a load of people. And, you know, that was on TV, you know, and it was on all channels. It was like, there is a disease that kills men and women. And it was like, oh my God. And very, very quickly, you know, I learned sort of subconsciously that this was a disease that affected gay men. It was like the gay men cancer, you know, that's how it started out. And so given, you know, at the time, strangely, you know, as a kid, people were calling me gay, which is kind of how I ended up identifying as gay, because so many people kept telling me, you know, you're gay, you're gay, you're gay, even though I wasn't convinced, to be honest. But, you know, I just sort of figured, well, oh my God, you know, gay people get this disease. You know, this is my destiny, child. But then it evolved. And, you know, then the message changed. And it was, if you wear a condom, you won't get this. And so you must always wear a condom.
Yeah.
And then the message evolved, and it became, you know, if you are tested regularly and if you get yourself on medication, then you will be undetectable. And if you are undetectable, it's untransmittable. And it's been amazing to see, you know, in the last 20 years of my life, to see something change. And, you know, coronavirus was not my first pandemic. You know, I've lived through one before, kind of. But, you know, I saw my friends receive HIV diagnoses and the initial shock and horror, the panic. How am I going to tell my parents? Oh, my God, I'm going to die. You know, and it has, thankfully, we've moved on from that. And I don't know I think there is still some catching up to do. I still think particularly straight cisgender people are very afeared of HIV and AIDS. I think they perhaps haven't got the memo about PrEP, and perhaps haven't got the memo about the fact if your HIV positive partner is on their medication, you can't catch HIV from them. So, you know, and these are the messages that had not yet reached Sam, because of course this was the year 2000.
Yeah. I think that something I was thinking is that panic that she has. I think that particularly, like, most gay men have experienced that at one point or another, sitting in the clinic panicking. And yeah, gay men and trans women in particular, I expect. So it was interesting to see that. And it made me think, like, it makes sense it was written by Michael Patrick King. I'm sure it was from experience.
I think we've said previously, it is insane that a woman in her 40s who had lived through the 80s in New York, when let's not forget, there was the 80s, there was global panic. Now, I was too young to experience that because I wasn't sexually active in the 80s because I was a tiny child. But, thank God. But, you know, that for sexually active people, you know, it was quite terror. And then I think when the straight world realised this was not gay cancer, that this was something that could affect everyone, there was real panic and real suspicion. And for somebody who we know enjoys sex as much as Samantha does, you know, Miranda and Carrie are quite right to say, how have you never had an HIV test? It's mad. It is mad. But then I think we've seen this as well. You know, we know, I know people, you know, very sexually active people who avoided HIV tests for the exact same reason that Samantha avoided HIV tests, which is they are terrified.
Yeah.
But, you know, speaking from 2020, the most important thing you can do if you are sexually active is to have regular tests, because the sooner you get started on medication, the healthier you're going to be and the less chance that you can pass it on to anybody else. So get tested. It's the best thing you can do. And shall we talk our listeners, Dylan, through an HIV test? Because it really is nothing to be scared of. And I'm aware that the vast majority of our listeners are actually cisgender women who I think are largely straight. So an HIV test, it's a piece of piss. You go along and it's a finger prick test.
Yeah.
You get your results there and then.
You go to the clinic, you go to any like NHS clinic. Mm-hmm. Just look it up online. At the moment, if restrictions don't allow you to go to a clinic, you can order a test, which is also really easy.
It's such a piece of piss. I mean, back, I remember when I was a child, when I was first using sexual health clinics or gum clinics, you used to have to wait 2 weeks for your results. That was torture.
Yeah, fucking hell.
Now it's a pinprick test. You take a drop of blood from your finger and it's like a little bit like doing a pregnancy test. You find out within 2 minutes, you will find out your HIV status.
Also, we've mentioned PrEP a couple of times. Mm-hmm. PrEP is pre-exposure prophylaxis, which is a pill that you take every day, which does prevent you from getting HIV. It's sort of compared to, I mean, it's an easy comparison to make, is it's like the morning after pill. But it's completely different from that. But like, it's that sort of thing.
Well, it's the morning before pill.
It's preventative.
And then PEP is like the morning after pill, which is if you've made a mistake, if you've had unprotected sex, you can go to any sexual health clinic or any A&E ward and ask for PEP, which is post-exposure prophylaxis, within 72 hours.
And then you can have sex in a sling that collapses like Samantha.
Yay! So yeah.
The doctor said when she was like talking about what condoms she used, she was like, do you use a latex, lambskin? I was like, lambskin? What?
I might Google it because I similarly was, that sounds revolting, lambskin condom.
I'm guessing it's for people who are allergic to latex.
Oh, they're not actually made... Ooh. Oh my god, this just got so much worse. The word lambskin is misleading, so I was like, oh, phew. But as these condoms aren't actually made from lambskin. Phew, right? Because that would be gross.
Yeah.
No, Dylan, they're made from lamb cecum, which is the pouch located at the beginning of a lamb's large intestine.
Gorgeous. Oh, so it's like haggis. You're using sort of haggis.
Like a condoms haggis made from the bladders and intestines of lambs and other animals have been around for thousands of years. But you can just get latex-free condoms. So
I'm quite shocked by that.
The horror.
Charlotte saying, we're looking at wedding gowns, could we please not talk about AIDS? It's ridiculous. I mean, it's funny, but also, like, she's trash for saying that. Like, that's a trash thing to say.
I mean, although I will say this, you know, we've just had to move our wedding again, and the bridezilla gene...
Oh, God.
It is kind of... It's a real thing, because there is so much... fucking admin around, and anybody listening to this who has had to plan a wedding or has been married will know that it is such a pain in the arse And, you know, moving a wedding twice, you know, it's so much work. It's so much work. Like, I do sympathize with Charlotte. I do wish that one of my friends had just gifted me an Anthony Marantina the way that Samantha does. Sadly, I'm not in a position of fabulous wealth to afford a pushy Italian mother that I've never had.
You're dragging.
Dragging. You're good beadwork, though. and I do. I love Anthony Marantina, and I'm glad he's in it.
So, what was it? Was can sex ever be sex?
Oh my god, yeah, we haven't even talked about the question. So I guess this means what Carrie's getting at, because, you know, she's making Samantha's HIV crisis about herself.
Yeah, of course.
Is, you know, when you go to bed with someone, you know, do we leave ourselves so emotionally vulnerable that we are liable to get hurt? Not necessarily physically, but emotionally.
Not always. Sometimes it can complicate. Sometimes it does complicate things, obviously. But, like, yes, it can sometimes be emotionally safe.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got, like, a nice, regular, casual thing that's just always fine and you know you're not going to hurt anyone's feelings. Yeah.
I think Carrie's coming at it from a very sort of old-fashioned kind of view. And, you know, we know Carrie has a fuck buddy. You know, we met him
season,
Dennis from 30 Rock. So we know Saki Toomey. So, you know, so it's perhaps it's Carrie. I mean, as somebody who has had a magazine column, sometimes you just have to reach for something. And it's a nice question. And I think coming at it from two points of view, which is, yes, there is such a thing as safe sex, because between condoms, PrEP, HIV testing, yes, you can have safe sex. And in terms of emotional safety, I think so. I think, you know, Carrie, if we stick with her, Carrie has made bad choices. Yeah. You know, when she started a sexual relationship with Aidan, yes. Maybe this, I might change Carrie's question. I wonder if entering into a relationship, because actually I think you can have very casual sex and you can go out, you can put on your freakum heels and you can go down to Oceania and you can meet a man with a neck tattoo and you can have sex with him there and then, and it will be fine because you've used a condom and you're on the pill anyway. So it's fine. God.
I really want to do that now.
Of course. Well, we will soon. Come on, Oxford AstraZeneca.
I want a Smirnoff Ice and I want a guy called Gaz with wet gelled hair.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I
exactly.
want.
Exactly. He's wearing a Fred Perry t-shirt and shoes with jeans.
Yes, with dark jeans. Oh. Pointed black shoes with dark jeans.
So, my God, sorry, I'm just gipping. But, so, you know, you can do that. I think where you have to make yourself emotionally vulnerable is when you let somebody into your life, not necessarily your vagina. So
there you go.
So that's my conclusion. So while sex can be safe, entering into a relationship is indeed often fraught with heartache. But I think in mind, it's funny, so I'm just writing about this in my new novel at the moment.
Ooh.
It's a gamble. It's a risk. But I think the risk of getting hurt doesn't outweigh the joy of being in love.
Yeah.
It's worth it. It's worth falling in love for the potential disaster that could happen.
Yeah, totally.
And that seems like a nice note to end on. I think we've covered all our bases there. Next week, it's the wedding. It's the wedding episode. We're going to be joined by photographer Greg Bailey, one of my absolute favourites.
Oh, fab.
From All Right Darling magazine.
Yeah.
He will no doubt have stories about drag queens for us because he's photographed them all.
All of them.
Send us your questions for Greg and he will spill the tea.
And this episode, is it called Don't Ask, Don't Tell?
It's Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Yeah. Yes. Do we want to add our response to this supposed reboot that's coming back? Because it's looking like it's going to happen. It looks like it's gone into pre-production. So,
yeah.
I mean, we thought we had 6 seasons and 2 films.
We're going to be going forever.
Maybe we can
finish. We can do our last episode live from the red carpet premiere of episode 1 of the reboot.
Every outfit on Sex and the City has posited swapping out Kim Cattrall with Sharon Stone, given that through the 80s, because Sharon Stone and Kim Cattrall swapped roles in both Police Academy and the Star Trek franchise.
Oh, God.
Mm, so they were interchangeable actresses. So until next week, you can find us on Instagram and Twitter at SIGTT Podcast. I think I said too many T's that time. You know what it is now. You know what it is. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.